President Trump officially signed off on next year's annual cap for refugees, bringing it to an historic low, 18,000. That's a huge drop from 110,000 refugees, the cap set by President Obama in 2016, his last year in office. The world's immigration editor, Monica Campbell, joins us now to tell us more. Monica, can you just recap on the current status of the U.S. refugee program and what's going to happen in 2020?
Well, 18,000 is definitely the lowest number we've seen in the refugee program since it began in 1980. So this is a dramatic, dramatic drop.
I also see that the Trump administration has issued another change to the refugee program, which is an executive order that makes it possible for states to basically opt out of accepting refugees. What does that really mean?
So the order requires state and local government officials now to sign a letter to the State Department saying, we support refugee resettlement. If they don't sign a letter, if they don't offer that kind of affirmative consent, that means that that state or that local government will not accept refugees.
So it's either a governor can wholesale say the state won't accept refugees, or a city or town can say no and the governor has to enforce that.
That's exactly right. The deadline for this is December 25th, Christmas Day. So if refugee resettlement agencies and people who work with refugees are really watching what is happening, and we've seen some governors already issue their support. The governor of Utah, who's a Republican, issued his support for the refugee program, and a couple of other governors have already too, but we're still waiting to see what Texas does. Texas receives the most refugees of any state in the country.
How is the Trump administration explaining what's behind these drastic steps?
When it comes to why we're seeing fewer refugees accepted into the United States in general, Trump administration officials say that they are working on diplomacy abroad, that they're working to address the wars and the conflicts that make people leave their homes to begin with, and that accepting refugees into the United States is not the most sufficient way to deal with global problems. It's to go to the root of the problems. In terms of this executive order and giving more weight to the voices of state and local officials, they say that consultation is insufficient and that there needs to be closer coordination between state and local governments when it comes to refugee resettlement. That's what the government says is behind this executive order.
Monica, what are you hearing in terms of the possible fallout from slashing the U.S. refugee cap? I mean, how much is it affecting refugee communities here?
Well, it puts a lot of families in massive limbo. Refugee families generally don't come all at once. People get separated by conflict, by war. I spoke with one woman who is a pretty typical case right now about this. Her name is Jackie, and we're just going to use her first name because she was a gay rights activist in Uganda and continues to face threats. When she fled, literally with just her belongings and the shirt on her back, she left her two-year-old boy behind. She wasn't able to take her two-year-old with her. So she's in Columbus, Ohio now, and she's been here waiting now for several years to have her son reunite with her. And with this recent cut in the U.S. refugee program, she's very worried that it may take several more years for her and her son to be in the same place in the United States. And this is what she told me.
I feel like our chances are getting reduced, you know, because that's the number through which my son can get here. I've been told that previously it was a little bit easier, but now nobody knows. I have to look outside the box. It looks like I'll never have my son with me.
And when she says looking outside the box, what is she thinking about?
Well, she's facing some hard choices, and she told me she is considering another way of having her son near to her, and this is what she said.
I'm thinking having my son getting adopted by a Canadian family. This family has been close to me since I was a refuge. They can still help me have him adopted over there so that he lives closer to me.
Did I hear that right, that she is going to try to have her son adopted by a family in Canada? So while she lives in Ohio, he'd be over the border in Canada, but at least be closer to her?
That is a serious consideration for her, yes. To have her son leave Uganda, be closer to her, albeit in Canada, in Ontario, this particular family. But it also leaves Jackie with a choice, which is a tough choice. She could remain in Ohio and see her son in Canada, or she could decide to uproot and go and live in Canada and be with him.
The World's immigration editor, Monica Campbell. Thanks a lot, Monica.
You're welcome.